Tom only writes a couple of things down. He's got some a couple of notes here by his computer.
Oh shit.
Oh no.
No one's made a Brexit movie.
Hey Banksy, we get it. Don't do any more.
Stop. Hey. Stop. Stop, Banksy.
Doing his best.
Oh, no, he's not. He's quite clearly not doing his best.
How dare you?
Okay, so we put some sheep in like an office building because like we're all sheep.
Oh my god,
you've had the same thought that every 17-year-old ever had.
If you do a job like regular people, you're just like a sheep.
Like a regular person, like just most people.
Yeah,
you are like most people by being like most people. Good job, guys. This was revolutionary.
I'm not a sheep. I'm a human being.
I'm Banks. Do you know what?
I'm a human being, not a sheep.
I don't have hooves
and fluff.
You can't prove that.
Maybe Banksy is a sheep.
I think Banksy is probably living his best life. Like,
yeah.
What if Banksy realised about, like, 10 years ago that his artistic destiny was to realise all the art that everyone on Earth has ever thought of so that nobody else has to?
Oh, like, so, like, it's like the idea that nothing is original, but taken to its absolute extreme, which is nothing is original, therefore I will purposefully create unoriginal bullshit.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
is exactly the thought I've had.
Like, what if we're not getting... Everyone thinks we're giving Banksy too much credit. What if we're not giving Banksy enough credit?
Right?
No, Banksy could never have enough credit. Fucking hell. I won't... No, That was praise masked in a very insulting tone.
At first I was like, no, I want to defend this for some reason. Wait, hang on.
And now you've made that explanation, and I'm still no closer to figuring out what you meant.
Me neither. I don't know what I mean most of the time.
It's cool. We're all just sheep, remember? We don't know what
I'm a human being, Vicky.
Speaking
you
of...
You have fluffy hair.
I am not a sheep.
You are practically... You are one-tenth of the way to being a sheep.
So speaking of sitting in a quite a hot room with other people...
Yes.
Talking about, like... The banality, like banal things like whether or not we all see the same colours.
What a
story. Oh, but do we though?
Or the artistic merit of Banksy paintings.
I didn't even know that was a segue until you said it. It was so, so clear. Like... Oh, well done. Well done.
Thanks.
Speaking of someone drawing something out.
I mean, I made the first segue this podcast has ever had, and it's immediately ground to a halt.
It was too subtle for us. For me, anyway.
Everyone's favourite drug ink films.
Yes.
What, like...
Tasty drug.
What are drug films?
I am down with a drug.
Oh, we all know about the drug.
I once ate five drug, and I felt, just... spicy.
We all felt spicy that time you had a drug.
Yeah, it was a spicy day.
What's everyone's favourite drug scene or coverage of drugs in a film? Doesn't have to be specifically drug films, but like everyone's favourite treatment of drugs.
Scooby-Doo the movie.
Uh-huh. I understand.
The girlfriend is called Mary Jane.
Okay.
Because they make that entire film being like, because Shaggy takes weed.
Hang on, though. Wait. Spider-Man. The girlfriend is called Mary Jane.
Spider-Man actually just a teenage boy sat in his room swinging from the lampshade high on drugs?
My question is Spider-Man Shaggy from Scooby-Doo?
Yes. Immediately, yes.
Bitten by a radioactive dog, the dog contracts the abilities of a human.
Bitten by a radioactive dog and the dog gets the powers.
Yeah.
Man dog!
Because
Raideran.
See, though, this is the thing, because radioactivity wouldn't give him superpowers, but all of them fucking drugs will.
I'm loving the idea of this spider running around New York with 8 human limbs.
Oh, no! Yeah. Are they all legs?
They're all... No, not a thumb between them.
They're all arms.
Oh,
and they're
no.
just... Yeah.
That's inefficient.
Like, it's the body of a spider, and but with like 8 full-sized arms.
And it wants to be a graphic designer.
No, it's actually Banksy. That's why. It's because he's just a fucking spider. He doesn't know shit.
Saving Spider Banksy.
Oh, that's gotta have a lot of drugs. No, if not in the film, but in the production.
Yeah. So like, there are a number of scenes. There are a number of scenes like in film that cover drugs. Right. There's always someone who's accidentally eaten the drug.
Mm-hmm, and my favorite ones.
They're going wobbly wibbly all over the place and smiling, and everyone's like, no, shh. We've got to finish the heist. And then, like, you know, they go, ooh, drugs that I meant to take.
What film is this?
I'm really curious.
That heist movie where one of them stops for a snack.
Heist Friends.
Okay.
So no one told you we were gonna rob a bank.
Nice.
You accidentally ate drug.
Could this safe be harder to crack?
Oh, no. These are some old memes.
Old memes that millennials don't understand.
We are millennials.
Yes, but if
we
you look at the
younger.
News...
Some of us only just...
If you look at the news, apparently millennials have ruined Friends.
That's because Friends was actually a pile of shit that everyone loved for some reason.
We need to pitch Friends episodes.
I think we should do a gritty reboot of Friends.
Yeah. Oh, God. So drug films. Yes. Drug-related scenes.
What about that drug scene in Friends?
I love a sweet drug.
Just get off Friends.
Is there one?
Eat
I don't
weed.
Know.
I can see Joey eating a weed and they just pass it off
once.
As like...
We keep saying the words, eat a weed. Or pick the one drug that, like, you don't just eat in clumps. Actually, there are many drugs. There are many drugs you don't eat in clumps. A big old clump of cocaine.
Most of them,
chew on.
I think.
To be totally fair, you can make food out of weed.
Mm.
Less so cocaine. Cocaine is apparently not good for baking.
But you'd think it would be, because it's like sugar and
flour. It looks
flour.
Like flour, yeah. It's granulated, is what you're saying.
You know it's not actually like sugar, right?
What?
What?
All seriousness, though, right?
Yeah.
Dread.
Yeah.
The movie Dread has some really good drug scenes in them.
Yeah?
In it, yeah.
What is it? What happens?
The drug in Dread is called slow-mo.
Right.
And that's exactly what it does to the film.
Right.
Like when they do it, it goes all slow-mo and like really bright, vibrant colours and stuff.
So it's like they're breaking in. Quick, eat some slow-mo effects.
Yeah, eat some drugs.
They do slow-mo and yet it does nothing to stop Dredd breaking up to the top of the building and killing them all.
Oh.
Like, you'd think it'd slow them down, so you'd be like, yeah, we can get him. No.
Just taken a shit ton of drugs.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah. So it's like not Matrix. You don't get to do Matrix thing while you're taking the drug.
It doesn't give you bullet time, although it probably does, but they were too high to really do anything about it.
Too much slow-mo.
Too much slow-mo.
That's the problem, right? Yeah. It's just, you know, you can't... If you can't do right... Here's the thing. I don't take a drug, and that's because if it doesn't give me bullet time, I'm out.
No, that's fair.
You ever had Night Nurse?
Night Nurse knocks you the fuck out. You want Day Nurse. That's the good shit.
Day Nurse.
That's the good
shit. Or as it's more commonly known, cocaine.
It's Day fucking nurse. Speed. Just shove it in there and you'll be A-okay.
So like...
on the Day Nurse, it's fucking good.
So films have to often tread that fine line between like... wanting to have that kind of sexy sort of like underground lascivious sort of environment around drugs and making drugs the center of that is like glorifying them and therefore not wanting to glorify them. So then they rein it in and make all the characters in their drug films completely unlikable or only likable in a sort of I hate you way. So like if you look at Trainspotting and stuff, you don't like anyone. You just sort of, they're funny. It's like that guy you went to school with who used to, like, I don't know, break the doors off the hinges or whatever, you know, like, or unscrew stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
I have a question about your idea of funny.
It's like you're pretty funny because you're causing chaos. You're like a trickster spirit, right? Like,
well, I also worry for you.
Stop, because I'm part of society. And,
A guy at our school who would do all that kind of stuff. Like, one day it was really badly raining and he just slowly walked up to this patch of grass and just took off his blazer, because we had blazers in our school, and just ran at the grass and just slid through it, getting mud all over him, and he just stared up like a puppy. Like, and everyone sort of went, like, this is really funny, but are you okay?
He stared up like, the ground went wet.
What's a water? He has definitely been on the drugs.
Yeah.
He sounds like 100% full of the drug.
100% drug, 100% of the time.
Why is the grass mushy?
It's magical. It's on me. Oh no, it's on me!
Maybe, am I the grass now?
Yes, you are the grass. Take more grass.
The worst kind of drug film, I think, is drug comedies.
Oh yeah, flipping, what's his name?
Seth Rogen.
Seth fucking dickhead. Somewhere. Yeah, that sounds the same.
He is the guy that made Not As Good Food Fight, right?
Yeah, sausage sausage party.
That's not the as only good way food I know fight. It. Food Fight is a masterpiece, and if that shit ain't full of the drugs, I don't know what is.
Sausage Party, the film that had some time to fill, and so added an orgy.
Why?
Hey, do you know, I can tell you why. I can tell you exactly why. Seth Rogen goes, all right, what do you want to have in this film?
Food tits.
What do I think is funny to say?
Motherfucking food tits.
Yeah.
Burger boobies. I haven't seen the film. I'm just going to say.
Seth Rogen just basically goes, what is fun to say? Like, I'm sure Seth Rogen enjoyed Kung Fury, because that's like the level of his comedy. It's like, what do I enjoy saying? Oh, imagine if X and Y, because he's so fucking high on weed, he's just like, imagine if X and Y, and then they go, yeah. And then, he gets like $60 million to make a movie about it, and then that's done. Well done.
This is a glimpse into the writer's room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make that. And then Seth Rogen's like, I bet I could con someone into thinking about it.
And then they thought too long and took too many drug. And then they made a movie?
I like to think that Seth Rogen like pulls a Whitey and just sort of like wakes up and goes, oh no, I've done it again.
Oh, see, I love the idea of him going to pitch the movie and just taking brownies and being like, hey guys, before we start, just take a bite of one of these sweet boys. Oh, you really need it for this.
Because that's the only way this is going to work.
And a bunch of rich dudes with money are just there like, wow, this is the best movie ever.
Why have you called these compliance brownies?
They're happiness brownies, you silly boy.
I'll just scribble that word out there. That was a joke for me.
As all of his jokes are, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's no... Oh, God.
Just Seth Rogen.
Someone stop Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen cannot be stopped. He has too many drug in him.
He's wearing the metaphorical mask.
Of drug,
yeah.
It's just like a hemp leaf shape. Just the eye holes. He is one of the fucking Koroks from Legend of Zelda. Confirmed.
Somebody stop me. That's what Seth Rogen said.
I like the idea that he's like, somebody stop me. Please. I can't stop making shit movies.
Seth Rogen is trapped inside their own body.
Yes.
Like, going, no!
Stop!
What are you doing?
But every like, time he gets another puff on that good J, it increases his hold over him.
So it's like that really old British ad about consent where there's that like behind the glass screen banging going no. But that's Seth Rogen's entire life.
His entire life, and there's no woman involved. It's just
him sat in a room writing behind him behind the glass window with him going no.
Just him on a computer. There's a guy, he's just like, no, what are you doing, Seth? What are you doing?
People won't watch that much food porn.
It's a 20-year-old Seth Rogen with high ideas moving to Hollywood. And it's like, he's got his bags inside behind his eyes. It's like you cut to Seth Rogen's old room as he set off for college. And he's got posters on the wall by all the best writers and like books. And he's like, no, we wanted to make art and you made Sausage Party.
And then in the production time, we get high and improvise a scene about weed jokes. No! What are you doing? No one will like that except everyone involved in the film. Audiences won't like that.
Have you ever seen
Speaking
that green?
Speaking of knowing the green.
Okay, but no, wait, just a second, because I've seen an amazing thing, which is avocado bathrooms that have been carpeted. So carpeted green bathrooms. I've seen a bathroom that is green with pink carpeting that is... It's also a toilet cover, and it goes up the side of the bath.
My grandma and granddad used to have that.
That's awful.
But
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but it was a pink toilet cover.
Yes, but was it a carpet that covered the entire bathroom and went up the side of the bath?
Don't go up the side of the bath now.
It should have
Jesus
done.
Christ.
Are you sure that's not just bad fitting?
No, that was apparently an intentional thing that someone once did.
We've got way too much carpet here. What are we going to do with it? Run it up the side of the bath.
Ah, just pin it to the side of the bath.
That's Jeff Goldblum.
Wow.
Yeah. Why
he
is
feels
all the photos
familiar? But
all the that bottom bit is amazing.
Not too familiar.
I feel like I might have seen him before, but it might have been in another life or a dream.
He's the kind of person you recognise through osmosis because you'll have seen a small Slytherin advert with him in. And
you might have seen him in a meme, like reclining with his shirt open. Like,
man, that sounds like a thing that I would have seen.
Yeah. Like, that's a thing that happens on the internet.
That's okay. Like his thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What, reclining with his shirt on?
Yeah,
you would not believe. Like, yeah, no. There we go. It's the same things happen, so there's like multiple versions of it at the bottom as well.
Oh, I've seen this picture, I think.
Yeah.
But with, no, not with his face, with Kylo Ren's face. I love how everyone's just like, that sounds exactly right.
That sounds like something the internet would do.
That's because, yeah.
Who is
exactly
doing
right.
that, though? Who is doing this?
Anyone
who is finding Kylo Ren attractive?
So many people.
Why?
I know a lesbian who's just like, you know who I'd fuck? Kylo Ren.
He looks like a fridge
not
door!
not the actor, Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren. Oh yeah, it's the same as, I don't think Orlando Bloom is attractive, but man, Legolas though. I'm pretty sure I got the right actor for that.
Yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter because the actor is irrelevant.
It'd be quite
Legolas.
Funny if you said a different actor. Just like Legolas. Wow.
I don't find Danny DeVito attractive.
Legolas.
And now all I can think about is a version of Lord of the Rings with Danny DeVito playing Legolas.
See, I was going to go with Bob Hoskins, Legolas. Which is like, we both went for short, hairy man,
wow.
Balding men.
Okay,
for Legolas.
Legolas, why don't you? Not
they're taking the hobbits to Isengard.
I was just about
they
to go.
They sure are, Legolas.
Recasting.
So you wanna be a hobbit kid? Well, whoop-dee-doo.
Legolas, yeah. What do your elf eyes see?
Egg.
I am way out of my depth here. cool.
All right, let's move
what
on.
Pitching?
Recasting Lord of the Rings with exclusively hairy, short men with dark hair, balding.
Except for the dwarves,
who are all played by Orlando Bloom.
Okay, no, I'm on board with this. As long as one of them's blonde, I don't give a shit.
But just, like, cutting back to Legolas, and he's talking about how him and his friend Charlie sleep together and are in the same house and stuff. It's like, me and my buddy Charlie, we sleep together, but it's not in any
me
way
and my,
a
me and my friend Charlie, we... me and my friend Charles Anderwill, we...
But always in the background of big, momentous scenes, like big battle speeches, you can just see Aragorn walking up and down the lines, and it just slowly passes by a short Legolas going, so we sleep together, but it's not like a sexual thing.
It passes down the lines and then drops downwards. Or does the thing where you can see the top of his head and then looks down for hilarious comedic effect.
For one scene, he's just dressed as a man cheetah. I'm a man cheetah. Just swinging his tail around. Oh, it's always sunny. Oh.
It's not.
What the fuck?
That is weird if you don't know any of the references. Gee. I suppose if you're a bit out of the loop, these are odd things to say out loud with my human mouth.
You don't fucking say! Jesus Christ. It's cool, I'm over it, it's fine.
He's a man, cheat and make you work.
I can't live in this world.
Next film.
Okay, so from Jamie Ranger, we've got I Just Want to Impress My Friends, the musical.
Peer pressure.
This sounds like High School Musical, but with a lot more drugs.
If High School Musical, if singing was massive benders.
Like, High School Musical, if skins.
Oh, no. Just take piles of blow. If you want to be cool, stick to one small rule. Just stick your face in this pile of blow.
Nobody knows anyone singing until they take drugs.
We're smoking weed. We're falling and flying. There's not a bong too big for us to rip. I'm dying. I'm smoking weed.
The smoking weed song has to be the cultural appropriation version of reggae. Just sung by Zac Efron. It would be incredibly tasteless.
Who's come back to reprise the role years later? Because he hasn't aged.
No, is this in the High School Musical universe? Is this set as a... Okay.
No. It's like High School Musical universe if... It was in the Skins universe,
so,
I guess.
So a gritty reboot of High School Musical.
The perfect gritty reboot, but you can use all the same actors and actresses because if they were doing that much drugs, they would probably look that much older.
True. We can also use Tony out of Skins, probably, because we know he can sing because of About a Boy.
Nicholas Holt.
Yep.
Yep.
That one.
That's his name.
So we can use him. We can use... Anyone else in Skins ever sing?
No.
They just did big
Skins.
Rips on bongs and put things in their veins and stuff, didn't they?
I wish I could remember more High School Musical songs.
I can't remember any bit of Skins where they did drugs.
Oh, that first episode of season 2. Oh boy, he gets on his skateboard, he's skating around. Oh no, just after he's like been caught masturbating or something, and then he's
with a bag of weed.
Yeah,
he's
and then he gets on his skateboard and he skates out like the start of like the intro to The Simpsons with Bart Simpson, and he's skating down the road, and then he's like, oh while I'm skating, I'll just pop out a bit of weed. Lights it up. Oh, I like drugs. And then and then the program starts.
Cool. I'm happy about this.
There you go.
Skins.
Awesome.
Damn it. What was this called again? Oh yeah.
You have the paper.
To impress my friends. The musical.
Yes.
We've laid out the synopsis.
High School Musical. The entire cast of Skins. We have to have the protagonist be like Richard Ayoade again. again, fully adult Richard Ayoade.
But like, I insist that it's the case that nobody knows it's a musical until they take their first drug, and then everyone's singing. Yeah. Like it's
you can swap between like point of view stuff where like you're clearly from the point of view of someone who's just taken drugs and everyone's singing, but then it swaps over and everyone's just like, sorry.
It's gonna represent, you know, that if everyone at a party
that bit happens at the very end of the movie where they enter a talent show.
Yes.
There's this big musical number, and then it cuts to the audience's reaction, or just looking at it from the audience, and they're on stage going,
okay.
That would be so easy to frame as well, because you can have like big dramatic camera sweeps from like the side of the stage round and shit like that, and then it pans to like you can see all of the audience's heads and just the stage. And it's just like, what the fuck is this?
I can just imagine like people doing like carefully timed choreography in High School Musical world, like dancing and doing pirouettes and stuff. And then it's just a person, like a fully grown adult, just like leaping to one side of the stage. And you just hear, because it's silent, you just hear the boom, boom, as they like land awkwardly on the stage.
Broken
going,
arm.
Breaking just... free, boom, boom. Like fall over.
This whole school is addicted to drugs.
Yes. I think it's very, very important that you have the person who's like, really leaning into it. So they come to this new school. They want to impress someone. So they take the drugs first, and then that the whole thing of everyone's drinking at a party apart from one person. That person feels completely out of that associative like thing. That you're able to bond with the people who are taking the same drug as you, like alcohol, weed, whatever. Right. Tom knows. Tom knows only too well.
I know that feeling.
It's just like that. Like, everyone is totally getting on, and we represent that through song. And then if you're not in that, you're like, the fuck is going on?
Why does that man keep clapping in a bad rhythm?
Why is Zac Efron humping the curtain?
Something's
going on.
They keep just occasionally yelling, "We're smoking weed!"
Vanessa Hudgens is licking the floor.
It's a thing.
Why?
We started out friends. Oh, dear.
That is not a high school.
Oh, that's Pitch Perfect.
It's also an actual real-life song that exists separately to movies.
No, Pitch Perfect.
And it ends like Bugsy Malone with them all throwing custard pies at each other, singing, "We could have been anything that we wanted to be."
But then we took crystal meth.
Meth?
We're so excited. We're probably gonna die from it. We've taken drugs until our death. Yeah, there you go.
My skin is feeling incredibly itchy. Scratch, 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 scratch.
And then it pans out to a stranger walking by and just looking at a bunch of people lying on the street, like
rolling and
dying.
Gagging.
The school isn't there.
Yeah. Choking on their own vomit.
The cream spray is just their own sick.
It's an abandoned theatre that they all squat in.
There's no school.
They're imagining throwing custard pies, but they're just projectile vomiting on each other.
There's no school. There's no talent competition. They just think they've just broken into an abandoned theatre that we'd seen earlier in the film.
How many of these are going to like be a pan out to none of it is real?
Pullback reveal.
But I love it.
This movie is a pullback and nothing is real.
It's probably my favourite drug trope. Like, pullback reveal, what have you done?
I'm just glad that that's the entire premise of this movie.
There's a there's an Adam Buxton like animation on YouTube of like it's a guy like taking a puff from a crack pipe or something, and then it's just like Tiptoe Through the Tulips by what's his name,
Tiny Tim
starts playing, and it's just like a Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds style, Yellow Submarine style animation that goes on, and he's running around, he's like you know, dancing through stuff, and then like sees a giant ice cream man and takes a bite out of him, and then like sort of these police come along to the side, and then it like cuts away and he's just like covered in blood, and he like got a shoe in his hand or something like that, and it's just like this is the best trope for a sketch.
I feel like we could 100% have some like cartooned bits of this movie.
Oh yeah,
like just some of the drug bits are just like shitty hand-drawn animation.
You can see the lined paper. It's been drawn. Yeah.
It's very important.
One bit they're not moving fast enough, and you can see like Troy like slowly drawing them and pulling them away, definitely trying to get the animated bit.
Some is because we ran out of paper. Just throw some like official documents in there. Like it's written on a contract or something. You can see the words underneath the drawings.
There's some of that shitty like coloured sugar paper that we all used to use.
Some of it's like scripting and manuscript from the music to the theatre that they've broken into and stuff.
Pullback reveal, the reason that this is so much bad animation is actually the creation of the film is a meta-narrative, and they're all on the film.
Yes. I love meta-narrative. That's not true.
It was a lie. I just wanted to impress my friends.
The musical.
Help.
I love meta-narrative. Oh, wait, no, I don't. What's going on?
No, hate. I hate meta-narrative.
They made me say it just for the sound bite.
Can I have it in my...
Life's a pitch.
Have it saved on my phone. Just
Life's
like...
a pitch. I love meta-narrative.
Whenever you bring up meta-narrative again, I'll just be like, aha! I love meta-narrative. No, yeah, you said it.
All part of Vicky Soundboard.
Oh no, don't make one of those. 90% of it is fuck wallet.
Is that when you forget your wallet?
No, it's referring to a person who is a fuck wallet.
Okay, that is...
They've got a lot of fucks to give.
Nope. No. It's a fuck wallet, man. It's its own thing.
Fair.
They're a wallet of fucks. Okay. Sorry. I looked really intensely at you.
Oh my god. Okay. Right, the next one from Josh Cooper, we've got Dude, Where's My Hands?
This ends with someone realizing that they've eaten their own hands. Just throwing that one out there.
It also begins with the exact same realization.
And the rest of the movie is them repeatedly forgetting.
It's one of those cycle movies. Like, it's sort of, you know, we realize that this whole thing has happened before.
It just keeps amping up and amping up and amping up. And he's in court at some point and he's like, someone stole my hands. I ate my own hands. And the judge is just there, like, order?
But then he can't hit the hammer because now he's eating his hands as well.
There's a lot of hands eaten.
It's just... Well, okay, right, but what if we take this a different way?
What if we make this a film that could work?
Yeah, this one could definitely work. Get ready for this, because this is going to kill at the Oscars, right?
Okay.
Kill at the Oscars.
Andy Serkis wakes up in the morning. He is a secretary, does a lot of typing.
Okay.
Finds out his hands are gone.
Okay.
Right.
Along with his forearms, like the end of his forearms.
Along with the rest of his life. He has gone.
He's in a different location.
And he pulls back and he's like, not real.
Dude, where are my hands? Goes on an adventure to try and find his hands. Turns out the hands are disappearing at night to go and shoot up. He isn't. You know, you have that. You have that sort of like, oh man, I've run out of skin on my arms to shoot up. Like, there's all scar tissue. I can't find the vein. There's a junky witch played by David Tennant, and he's like
limbs,
and he's like, I can't find the veins in my arms. I need to summon someone else's so that I can shoot up at night. They won't miss them, but one time he's been doing it for a while, and Andy Serkis hasn't noticed, and then suddenly he realizes that, like, oh my god, he like wakes up in the middle of the night and his hands are gone, and he goes
to pee.
Yes,
and he just ends up gently stubbing his penis.
On an unrelated note, stubbing your penis.
Oof. Oh, I didn't
got that reaction.
I didn't realize that floorboard was there.
Like a cartoon, like
rake. Oh dear.
Wow. I've just got this image of
penis.
You know that scene from Trainspotting where they're running down the road?
No.
Yeah, no. It's quite a famous one. So, yes. If you haven't seen Trainspotting, you probably will have seen it.
I remember that bit in the railway children when they're running down the road. Does that help?
I remember the bit where he shoots himself in the face or some shit like that, because we were shown
in the railway children.
No, in Trainspotting.
That's a dark cut.
We got shown that in a lecture for some reason. No idea what
the cut of the railway children where the old man's just like, no trains today.
That sounds like it could have happened.
Yeah, to be honest, in that era, those films got dark for no reason. No reason at all.
I swear in the railway children, they have a whole thing where someone's stuck in a tunnel and is going to die.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
They have to flag down a train and then kill everyone on the train.
before the cops get here. It's actually the great train robbery, but under the cover of
railway children,
there's someone stuck in the tunnel.
The great railway children.
The great railway children robbery.
So anyway, there's that scene in Trainspotting where he's running down Princess Street away from, like, I think they've just robbed a clothes shop or something to get some more money for some more heroin and stuff. So I'm just imagining that scene where he's running towards the camera. Like, the camera's sort of like keeping up with him, so he's like running towards the camera, but you just edit Ewan McGregor out apart from his hands and hands and arms, so he's like that. Like, his arms are moving frantically, you just can't see the body, you can just see what's behind
him. It's like the hands. This is a really niche reference.
Okay.
But from the kids' TV show Zap.
Yeah. Another one. The ones in marigolds, like rubber, like
the black
hands.
Box.
Yeah. And it's just those hands are the bad guys.
That's really weird because I saw a YouTube video about Zap the other day, because it was like
Zap, if you want to. It was Zed Zap if you want to look it up on YouTube.
It was a big thing, wasn't it? And it was all, there was no,
God, that shit written, was creepy.
It was filmed as a comic strip, right? So the idea was you opened the comic that was called Zap. It was done in that sort of
like
pop-up style.
But also there was a TV remote for it as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think the idea was like you were able to go jump into the comic strip. It was trying to blend the two things, because I believe at the time the Beano and the Dandy were coming out of, like, were losing traction.
That was a really strange, because there was literally no dialogue in it. Mm. It was just a silent half an hour.
It had a lot of like classic kind of slapstick schemes, but as a kid, I was weirdly terrified of all silent slapstick. I was scared of the Chuckle Brothers for a while for the exact same reason.
Well, they weren't silent slapstick.
There were lots of moments where they would stop talking for a very long time because it would be long sequences of silent slapstick, and that terrified me.
I was scared of the Chuckle Brothers for a different reason. Their antagonists.
They killed my parents.
Said we'll be back for you.
My parents died of Chuckle Brother. Their antagonists, the Chuckle Brothers antagonists, were like the scariest villains in the whole world. They were just angry balding white men, but they
those
were just
scary.
They were just peeved about something being broken or having lost some money. Like, that was it. Like, the Chuckle Brothers would be hired to move something, a vase would break, and then the angry white balding middle-aged man would be so peeved. And I was like, don't get caught. Don't. No. Don't.
For the love of God, no slacking.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
God. So, to clarify, this film is about like Andy Serkis watching the zap and his hands floating off into the TV. Yeah. That's what I got. Hey,
and it's all done by David Tennant, who's a witch. And we end with a final action sequence of Andy Serkis with no hands running after David Tennant on a broom.
Who is controlling the two hands from the zap?
He's got two forearms coming out of his elbows. He's holding on to. It's like a scene from Harry Potter Quidditch.
Except nothing like that.
Exactly like that. Like,
nope.
I don't remember the scene in Harry Potter Quidditch where Andy Serkis chases one of the wizards on feet. And also that wizard has four hands.
Do you know?
More importantly, why are we referring to Harry Potter Quidditch as though it's its own fucking movie?
Whoa, are you telling me you haven't seen Harry Potter Quidditch in which Andy Serkis with no arms chases after David Tennant on a broom while David Tennant has two forearms coming out of his elbows?
Funnily enough, I haven't, but that's only because the fucking Hollywood nerds aren't listening to this podcast.
You can download it as an MP4 from Pottermore, I'm sure.
You can download everything as an MP4 from Pottermore.
I'm so glad you brought up the fact that everyone was referring to it as Harry Potter Quidditch as though it was a thing that existed.
You just call it Quidditch like all of the rest of us, you fucking muggles.
It was actually originally a cutscene from Harry Potter Quidditch World Cup for the GameCube. And
whoa, we are deep cutting. We've had the zap, we've had the Harry Potter Quidditch game specifically, yeah, on GameCube.
So good,
it was really good.
Oh, that. On the topic of both Harry Potter and drugs, I've just remembered, muggles as a term in Harry Potter was taken from it being a term that I think people who use drugs refer to people who do not use drugs as. Like, that's what muggle is from.
Okay, I'm sure it's this some isn't the case, shit like but that. I really hope it's muggles versus druggles.
I also hope that.
Like, I'm going to put that in. I'm going to file that under. People are putting people are putting pins in Halloween candy, and like people are trying to give crystal meth to children as Pop Rocks, right? Like, I'm putting all that in Doubt It.
I am 90% sure that this is true because someone told me it in secondary school. And boy, well, I learnt a lot of true things in secondary
school. Most of the things that I learned in secondary school were true, so, I mean, it must be good odds.
I'll Google it after this, and you can include it as, like, a secret snippet of knowledge if it is true. And if it's not, you can say, look at this crazy person who believed someone in, like, year 7.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
You're welcome.
Harry Potter Quidditch World Cup game for the GameCube, and then there's a cutscene in the middle with no content. It's Andy Serkis with no arms chasing after David Tennant with two forearms attached to his elbows on a broom.
It could happen because David Tennant was the crazy one.
He was whatever his name was.
Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah, Barty Crouch.
Marauding as Mad-Eye Moody.
Yeah, that one.
Get with it.
With it. They're just bad at
losers.
Names.
Okay.
Speaking of names.
Yes. We've got another name here for me to read out.
Wow.
We've got another one from James Dixon, and that is Daily Vitamins, The Silent Killer.
Oh, shit.
Suburban Mum, first of all.
Yeah.
Very important.
Played by
Courtney Love.
Okay. Yeah, she's done some good work.
Yeah. some, not all.
She's done some bad work, but she's done. She was pretty good in Man on the Moon.
Fair. Courtney Love, suburban mum in suburbia.
Ambiguous. Probably America.
Yeah, like
Orange County.
American Beauty time place.
She's in Orange County. Yeah.
She wears those long, like, 20s style... Is it 20s? The ones with the long dresses that are, like, poofy.
Polka dot.
Yeah,
poofy
that
dresses,
kind of
yeah.
And she begins making addictive daily vitamins as a side job.
Yes.
She's like an Avon lady.
Oh.
Yeah.
But with vitamins and
yes.
drugs.
Well, I'm thinking, like, so she's got some kids who's...
Yeah.
All the kids... Her house is, like, on the way to school. Mm-hmm. All the other kids, all the kids' friends come to hers in the morning before school, and they just, like, they're chilling out, they're getting their stuff together, they're about to go out to school. She's like, hey, kids, everyone come and get some vitamins. And she does, and that's, they're regular vitamins. Whoa. Until the kids start to get too cool to come to her house.
No.
And she has a bit of a break where she's like, I need these kids.
She was dealing them to other mums, not that she was secretly...
She will.
I've got it. Because, like, when the kids are at school, all the mums all sort of have, you know, like a Desperate Housewives thing where they all go to each other's house for tea and stuff like that.
Yeah. Spending time with their friends is what the rest of us call it.
It's not exclusive to Desperate Housewives.
It's women without jobs spending time with their friends and neighbours. That's all. It's not creepy, Tom. It's okay.
I always just assumed it was orgies.
Yeah.
It's that too. It's huge lesbian orgies, but that's just what they do.
Or like a book club or something. And then suddenly...
which I always assumed were just lesbian orgies.
Tom, do you have an issue with the idea of just women interacting? No, it has to have some kind of other... like motivation. Like they're like, no, books they... surely.
Wait, they're talking about something other than a man.
Yeah. Sometimes they talk about their interests and hobbies. Would you believe it?
Wait, hang on.
But not a book club.
Not a book club.
Got a book club? They could have a book club.
They could. That's
they
not
could
an obligation.
Have books. And they read them casually. And then, like, they just come up in conversation.
What I'm saying is there's a thing.
But there doesn't have to be a thing.
No, but for this particular narrative, there does have to be a thing.
Yeah.
Because we need a reason for them all to be there every week.
Being friends!
No, because if you're just friends, sometimes you don't have the tradition in it where you're like, oh, it's bad if you're not there, right?
Like, this is what I was trying to say. It's like there's a regular scheduled thing that they do.
Regular?
Which is easier to explain than just hanging out if you call it a book club.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
I dispute that because of the existence of the TV show Friends,
where some of them aren't always there, right? So,
okay,
like, if you want all of them to be there at the same time in a formatted fashion, you're gonna have to have a schedule for them, which is easier to do through an official club.
Okay,
regularly schedule. Friendship.
No, I will concede this.
No, I won't.
Fight club. No.
Fight club. No, I'm not taking it. I stand by the fact that these women can just have the ritual. They're like, what, 40? Their kids are probably teenagers. They've probably been doing this for like 10 years, maybe more.
They've probably been doing Fight Club for 10 years.
But where do the fucking vitamins come in?
She's
an Avon lady, but for vitamins.
Going back to my point, right.
An Avon lady with friends.
An Avon, like...
Joe's watching.
They're
the
all
TV.
Friends. They're all friends. However, right, they meet for a book club.
Fight Club.
Fight Club, book club, similar.
They read books and then fight each other.
they're both clubs. Like, they meet each other to discuss... novels, poetry. Like they meet each other outside of that as well.
And then fight.
Women things.
And then fight each other. Just full on bare knuckle boxing straight off the back of Book Club.
Man, right. All I'm learning is that you guys have no idea about female friendships, because, man, we bare-knuckle fight a lot.
I'm just saying they meet up every week for a thing. They can hang out as well. They can hang out as well as friends.
Tuesdays, they hang out sometimes as friends and sometimes on Thursdays as well. But Mondays is book club, okay?
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. Right. Mondays is book clubs. Right.
They used
rest
to be
of the week. West of... rest of the week is a free for all.
Hang out.
Of friendship.
Free for all of friendship.
I have one contribution to the rest of this film. Yeah.
Fight.
And it's not even scheduled times. Like, because all their husbands are at work, they can just run up behind each other and punch each other in the back of the head.
Sometimes at school.
Sometimes one of them's driving to school to pick up the kids, and the other one just rams the car into the side of it.
Sometimes they're at the PTA meeting and someone will kick them off the podium.
Wait, there's a podium at the PTA?
Yeah, because they're making the speeches and then someone just goes, hey, yeah! And then kicks them off it.
This was meant to be sometimes a tiny detail.
One of the mums is looking at a pond feeding the ducks with their small child and they get drop kicked into the fucking pond.
Here's the thing, Tom. A tiny detail for you is the life of these women. And clearly, you don't care about the lives of women.
And they live
real
every
women.
Day afraid of being drop kicked by other mums.
We're world building, Tom. World building.
So, these Fight Club ladies...
Forget it! I had a really good idea!
These Fight Club ladies are in
desperate
need
of Orange County
performance improvement, so they need vitamins.
Yes, they need to get buffed.
Desperado Housewives of Orange County.
They need some sick fucking steroids.
Tom, listeners, if you're listening to this, Tom's in the fetal position.
I think I may have caused this by aggressive feminism. I would like to apologise to any listeners who have also been reduced to the fetal position through my aggressive feminism.
I'm just saying, they can live as friends, like, whenever, but they do book club as well.
But Tom.
But why?
In movies, women have to have a reason to like each other. They can't just be friends. It's a real feminist problem.
I know.
You know what's not a feminist problem?
Fight Club. Fight.
Here's the thing. I don't think that's appropriate to life because I need a reason to hang out with my friends as well.
Are you a woman?
The only time I ever hang out with Tom is
for the
recording the podcast.
Fight Club.
So yeah. I think that just all humans only meet up with each other if they have a scheduled appointment.
So what you're saying is all humans are like you, so all humans are like men, so women aren't real.
I mean,
I can go for a long time on this.
What I'm saying is, like, do not talk to me unless I've scheduled an appointment.
Also, I can go shit. A long time on this is the tagline of Women's Fight Club.
That's sexist. The second tagline.
Yeah, that's sexist. And then the follow-up tagline is, no, it's not. And then in asterisk, punches. And then the next tagline is being punched in asterisk.
Oh, it's just like the old days of internet roleplay. I'm sorry, Tom, you were saying something. You want to move on? I feel like...
No, I need to finish this.
Okay. Finish it.
Like the Fight Club.
Yeah, they meet up for book club. They also meet up for other things as well. It just so happens on this day, it's book club, right?
They have a full weekly schedule.
That was just implied. Right.
Did you have an implied full weekly schedule? Did they have, like, their planners on, like, a little
Groundhog Day! Does it? All the time!
No, but, like, they could have, like, planners on a little, like, recipe book stand that, yeah, like, you can see in the background, that every day shop.
It's all right, it's got to be a recipe book stand. All right,
and
I see.
One planner. One planner is just scrolled over with "My life is dedicated to Mum's Fight Club." I'm so sorry for keeping bringing this back round, but
the tiny Easter egg of this conversation, this very conversation we have, the genesis of this idea for a movie,
is the in only someone's book planner.
They read is the novelization of Fight.
They're reading Fight Club.
No, they're reading the transcript of this conversation. And they really analyse it every week, but they can't figure it out. It's super meta. Okay. I love meta. Okay. No, I don't.
So, yeah.
Continue.
I'm fine.
And they have a falling out, right? In which one of the mums, who is the Avod lady, she delivers the vitamins
to the book club.
No, not to the book club. She delivers the vitamins
to the neighbourhood.
To all the kids. So she's like, right, if they won't like me, I'm going to kill their kids.
We should have waited like American to find the real problematic element.
So it's like American Psycho.
I'm on board with child murder.
This is like American Psycho, but worse.
Yeah, like she ends up slowly poisoning their children.
Jeebus.
Yeah,
I love this.
And the reason she always knows where their kids are is because they have weekly scheduled events, making it the problem of the film.
So many planners everywhere.
She knows exactly what their routine is.
And then, so we see like the series of her killing off all the kids. And then she walks into the final house and the son's there, very young son, playing with, I don't know, Duplo. And then she slowly walks over with a knife to the child. And we just hear from somewhere in the room, "You won't take my son, for I have dedicated my life to Mum's Fight Club." Dropkicks.
Cut to black.
Where is my mind, place?
Followed by Gangster's Paradise.
Followed by Gangster's Paradise by Coolio. Yeah.
I'm so sorry for that horrific sideline.
It's fine.
Could have finished this.
It's fine.
So
it was a good bit. I liked it.
I am not sorry.
I'm not actually sorry. I'm just saying it so that, like, you have a nice, like, roundup of.
Yeah.
I'm sorry this happened.
No, it's good. It's a good bit.
Banter. Good bit of banter.
Mad pants?
How dare you? Utter those words in not my own home.
Is that too high on the banter scale?
Mad bants is what people who have taken a weed would say.
Chewed upon the devil's leaf, sire.
I've chewable vitamin C tablets.
The C stands for carijuana.
Cannabis!
Cannabis! Wow.
Crack cannabis.
Cracko cannabis.
No, I think about it. A lot of drugs begin with C.
Now that you think about it, for more than 2 milliseconds.
Cracko cannabis.
Cracko cannabis.
Carijuana.
The beautiful mind of Jo Thompson, everyone.
Carijuana. She's very tired. Joanna's so tired.
Oh,
Joanna.
Oh, Kara Joanna.
Oh my god.
Would you cry for me?
Oh. Are you okay, Tom?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just, oh. That was the last film that got us an honorable mention.
Some scenes become so deleted.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really, maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone, and maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there, 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.